Galatians chapter 3. Paul's writing to Galatians, and this was probably his, what I call his most upset letter. He throws a very, very quick greeting to them. You know, a little grace, a little peace from God. And what's interesting in here is this is one where he never says, I thank God for all of you. The other letters, he thanked God for even the Corinthians. And they were just sinning all over the place. Eating the communion up, not letting other people have it. There was incest going on. There was this, there was that. It was all kinds of, they were out of order in the service. And all, I thank God for all of you, Paul says. Galatia, he doesn't say that. What he does get into immediately is how upset he is with them. So in third chapter, he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Teach me now, Paul says. Teach me. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Years ago, there was this question that kind of circled around through the body of Christ on kind of a quite a large scale. And it was this: why is it that when somebody comes to the Lord and they're born again and they're a new creation, that it just seems like God just gives them everything? But then after a while, it doesn't seem like that anymore. It seems like it's hard. Well, as we often have done over the years in the church, we think we've got to come up with an answer. So we come up with an entire doctrine to answer that. For example, why do people get sick? Well, the church didn't go to the Word of God for the answer. They just said, well, God makes you sick to teach you something. See, thinking they have to come up with an answer. So, using the wisdom of man to come up with an answer, I assure you, will not get it done. Because most of the time, we left by ourselves with whatever facts or knowledge that we can get a hold of will normally come up with the wrong conclusion or the wrong answer. My second oldest son, Dave, who's now in his early 30s, when he was about 5 years old, I was teaching him to hit a baseball. And I gave him the bat, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And he said, Dad, I can do it. Wouldn't even let me show him how to hold the bat. Wouldn't even let me show him how to stand. He said, you just get over there with the ball and you just throw it and I'm going to hit it. And he did this. He took the bat. He stood there and he put it up like this. He said, throw it. I'll hit it. With what he knew, having a bat, there's a ball, I got to hit it. Using his mind, this is what he came up as a conclusion of how he's going to hit. Never thought about what would happen if he missed. Could not have possibly been in his mind. And I said, Dave, what if you do miss the ball and I throw it at the bat? He went, oh. So what did he need? He needed knowledge and truth. you have to stand this way. You have to hold the bat this way. And he realized from that, hey, this works better than getting clubbed in the head with a baseball. And we didn't fool with the little soft things. It was a hard ball because he's getting ready for Little League. The real thing. Now, back over to that doctrine that came out that said, here's the reason why it doesn't come easy anymore. God wants you to grow up, so he's taking things away from you. He's trying to grow you up. He's trying to get you to mature. Now, here's the real kicker. And this is why it's so important that we all have our senses exercised to discern when we're hearing something right, we're hearing something wrong, we're hearing something good, we're hearing something bad. He wants you to stand on your own. You receive Jesus as Lord and Savior into your life because you came to a realization, I can't stand on my own. I can't do it. There's no way, no matter how hard I try, that I can be right with God. There's no way that I can measure up to that standard. That I'm completely bankrupt. And that the only thing that I can absolutely know and understand is His grace for me. Now you turn around. This was widespread. Some should remember. And there were other doctrines similar to that. Let me let you in on something. The enemy has like five things he uses. You know, it's the same snake in there. He just has 15 different packages to make you think that it's something different. But it's recognizing that's what that is. He knew, if I can get you out from faith, I can put you under works. And if I can put you under works, the curse will run rampant in your life. If I can get you to go for that tradition, see, all tradition comes out of the rules. This is the way we always done it. It's a rule in this church. Praise must be first. And then in the meantime, we miss the Spirit of God. The first church that we had a couple of years in, you should have seen the reaction. The Lord told me, minister the word first this morning. Then have praise and worship. We get used to it. And we think that's the way it is. Well, we can only pray for needs after. Didn't expect that, did you? Prayer request. Well, I'm not doing that just to be different. The Lord said this is the way to do it. It might be a year. Same thing, same thing. But listen, real careful to this. If you get to where this is the way we always do it, you'll miss the Spirit of God. You won't be able to hear Him. And you'll say, where were you, Holy Spirit? Where were you? I was right here. I was right here. I always drive to work the same way. I always drive. Is there anybody here that gets into that or wherever you're going? You take the same route all the time. Well, early on when I said, Lord, you have to teach me how to hear. You have to teach me how to be led by the Spirit. I would ask the Lord every morning, which way do you want me to drive? How do you want me to go? Go the way you normally go. Go the way you normally go, day after day. Go the way you normally go. Then one morning he said, I want you to go that way. And that way was a toll road. And immediately, here I go. And here's what comes. Can that really be the Lord? Must not be the Lord. He wouldn't want me to pay a toll. So I didn't take it. I went the way I normally went because it wasn't logical what he was telling me to my mind. Why would I go 5 miles out of the way, pay a toll, when the way I go, I found that way because I took every possible way that I could until I found the very best way to go. I was an hour and a half late for the accident that he was trying to let me know to avoid. And of course, I'm waiting there in that traffic for the hour and a half. And now what starts happening? Lord, I should have listened to you. it was you. And all the rest of it that goes on, you know, as you're there. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, why don't you ask me what to do now? I had the idea that because I had missed him, that now I had to pay by being in that traffic jam. And we all get there. All of us. Serves you right. Serves you right. Now, because you didn't obey, you're going to sit in this traffic. Now I want to tell you, he then said, why don't you ask me? I said, Lord, what do I do now? Take a right-hand turn. Do this, and got around it. Then you say, well, it still took you an hour and a half. That road was shut down all day. I would never got through there. Some tanker dropped its oil all over, or whatever it was, gas, and the EPA was out there, and all of that. No one's doing anything until we clean it up. Thank God I got out of that. But a big lesson. Now, I want to tell you something. God didn't orchestrate all of that to teach me something. I could have just listened to him, gone and paid the toll and got there. Amen? So it wasn't Father God wringing his hand saying, I got to teach my son Tony a lesson today, so I'm going to put him in this trap. Then he'll have to come to me. It never worked for my children. But it's the blessing of the Lord that he can use anything, even our disobedience, to our benefit. That's what it means. We're blessed with every blessing. We're always blessed. We're always blessed. Always blessed, no matter what. God can't lie. If Jesus walked in here right now and said, it's Tuesday, it'd be Tuesday. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have already been blessed. You have already been blessed. Oh, you have, well, where's, do you believe it? Oh, yes, I believe it. Now, let me figure out what I got to do to get blessed. And there you are, right there in that verse of Scripture. Galatians 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you are now being perfected in the flesh? What flesh in the Word of God, the Bible meaning. See, I've got dictionary meaning, Greek meaning, Hebrew meaning, and then I've got the in the Spirit meaning. Something the Lord had put me on. That's the reason why we must have the Spirit of God to understand this. The author is in us. Amen? Because language is too imperfect to get the fullness. When we get that spiritual meaning or the spirit meaning of it, it creates that picture or image within you. And that's what you're after. You want to see it the way God sees it. Amen? We want to see ourselves the way God sees us, not the way we see ourselves. You are not a failure. Ever. I got news for you. When you get to heaven and God pulls out your resume, which He will do, there'll be no failures on your resume, only successes. In order for me to share my failures with you, the Spirit of God would have to kick me in the pants. I don't like to. But if it would help you, oh, you mean you made a mistake? I'll tell you what the Lord told me one day. John, do you think because you make a mistake, I can't get my will done in your life? You say, well, how do you know that was the Holy Spirit? Because it set me free. One way to tell when you're hearing the Lord, it always sets you free. Amen. Well, what was He doing with me? Quit trying to perfect yourself in the flesh. Flesh, my effort, my best, how well I did, how well I didn't do. Lord, I was in the Word 4 hours today. Man, I should really be getting blessed today. Beep. Out of bounds. Go in the penalty box. You're in trouble. But why am I in trouble? I'm trying to perfect in the flesh. I'm trying to make myself better. It isn't even acceptable to try to make yourself like you know God wants you. Well, why? Because we can't. You can't. No matter how hard you try to be Jesus-like, you're not going to be. Well, how am I supposed to act around the Christians? Bad question. Now, here's an interesting point. The verse before that. This I want to know. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Now let me let you in on a faith secret. All right? Faith always says, I have it now. If you don't have it now, it's not faith. Okay? Always, forever. Faith says, I have it now. I don't have to see it to know that I have it. One morning I said, Lord, you got to teach me about faith. I'm not quite understanding this. Son, by faith, you know. I said, how do you know you're talking to me? What's the answer to that? What's the answer? By faith. How do you know that I died for your sin and you're forgiven all your sin? By faith. That's the only answer. How do you know that God is there? By faith. Now, if I'm ever at the place where I don't know that I know that I know that I'm fully persuaded, that I am fully convinced, that there's no one, nothing that can talk me out of this, if I'm not at that place of faith, then I'm automatically going to go over here to works. because I don't have it. And the next question is, Lord, what did I do or didn't do that I don't have it? Has anyone ever had that thought? And now you go into the self-examination, and that's brutal. Because I limit looking at myself to 10 to 15 seconds. I really don't want to get into that. Well, the scripture says you're supposed to judge yourself. The scripture says, judge to see if you're in the faith. It doesn't say, judge yourself till you rip yourself apart and determine that you are totally wretched and undeserving of any blessing from God, no matter what, because you're not good enough. When Jesus made us right, good enough. I don't care how long you've been running with the Lord. No one's exempt from this trap. Martin Luther said, I understand the grace of God. He had the revelation of by grace through faith you're saved 400 plus years ago, which changed everything. And he, in his writing, which I read his commentary, says, I need to hear every day of the grace of God and of faith, because I'm tempted every day to go back, because I'm carrying this flesh around that wants the credit, that wants the to do it. Dad, I don't need you to do it. I can do it. Lord, I don't need you to tell me which way to go. I can do it. Now, the difference between faith and flesh or works is this. Each and every time that we move, we have moved. God has always provided our housing. Now, you say, well, God's always provided for me. Well, there's a difference between God providing for you what he wants to provide for you and us providing, saying it's God providing for us what we want or we think. So, a while back when the Lord said for us to sell the house in Orlando and move, I asked the Lord, well, what are we going to do about housing? And he said, I'll take care of it. Now, when the Lord says to me, I'll take care of it, there is a disclaimer in print right after that that he doesn't have to say, because I've learned when he says I'll take care of it, it means do nothing. Don't do anything. Don't look in the ads. Don't look around. Don't do anything. I'll take care of it. Now, if you haven't been there, I want to exhort you to get there. It'll do wonders for your faith. You think fasting is tough on the flesh. That is nothing compared to saying, we've got 2 days before we got to move, and we don't know where we're going. But God said he'll take care of it. And how the week before, see, we know things. We know how to do stuff. I know how to find a place to live. And don't you know, that's all coming in on you. Of course it does, because you're drawing from that knowledge, your skill. Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh. What did he mean by that? I'm putting no confidence in my ability to find a place for us to live. Amen? So here's the issue. I've got to sit still. and see the salvation of the Lord. So that afternoon, our daughter, who works at Florida Hospital as a physical therapist, she calls. He goes, I don't know why I've waited. He said, I'm talking to Rusty down there, and his sister has a house over there, and just kept coming back to me. Finally, she calls, and we call the person, go over there, perfect, 4-bedroom, done. When we went to Pennsylvania to start the first church, younger in the Lord then, but, I'll take on anything, glory to God. And sometimes when we were there, I was wondering whether it was faith or foolishness. But God, by the way, the mercy and grace is always there. Get free from this. It isn't based on your faith. None of it is. You say, well, John, that's contrary to what you're saying. Do you think your faith is perfect? If it was based on your faith, how perfect does it have to be before God moves? See, you can turn faith into a work. And you could say, I confess 1,200 times. Now, God, where is it? Well, what have you just done? I've done a work. I've confessed 1,200 times. Now, God's got to meet my need. Because why? I confess 1,200 times. Mercy and grace is why he heals us. Healed us. Met our need. Provided everything. Amen? Faith is a response to receive. A response to what I've heard. A response. And my response then is, thank you, Lord. I've received it. I've got it. That's why I say thank you. Oh, no, you understand. You got to keep thanking God till he does it. No, I don't. Don't hang that stuff on me. I'll be thanking him until he comes. Still waiting for him to do it. We believe, we receive, and he brings it to pass. But as long as we're trying to bring it to pass, he can't. By our work. The blessed saints of God are suffering today. Under curse, under sickness, under disease. How many of you know that ain't right? In light of the word of God, is that right? That's not right. But what happens? They come out of faith. They get away from faith. More than one time in the morning, get with the Lord, and the Lord said, did I tell you yesterday to use your faith? Yes. Well, why aren't you doing it? Well, that would mean something, wouldn't it? It would mean you'd have to know how to use it. You'd also have to know that you're allowed to. Amen? As a matter of fact, the Lord expects us to, doesn't he? He taught it. Pastor John, I'm having a problem with unforgiveness. No. You don't have a problem with unforgiveness. You have a problem being in faith and operating in faith. No one forgives unless it's by faith. What they do is they die, and the unforgiveness eats them up. Do you remember Luke 17? Jesus said, your lifestyle is one of forgiveness, basically what he was saying. There is no number of times before you don't have to forgive. What did the apostles say to him? increase our faith. And then he went into use it. Use it, it'll increase. Use it, it'll increase. Use it, it'll increase. But you can't be using your faith when you're over here doing the works. So I'm going to Pennsylvania. Lord spoke. And that's another whole thing of how that happened. But we came to the point now where God had arranged it. We're going to Pennsylvania. We're leaving Orlando. And this is like 1982. And I decided, I'm going to go up to Pennsylvania early. We're scheduled to go at a certain date. I'm going to go up there 2 weeks early, look around for a place to live and check it out and all that. So thank God for the mercy and grace. I spend the plane ticket money. I spend money to get up there and so forth and so on. Get a car, and I'm there one day. And I mean, nothing's happening. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? And I heard this. Did I tell you to come up here and do this? No. What did I tell you to do? Just about like that. You said, pack up, come up here. Well, what are you doing? I said, I'm going back and pack up and come up here. What was the problem? Flesh. I was trying to figure out how to get the need met. We had to, all that. So I go back, I call Priscilla and said, I'm coming home, pack up, get ready, we're coming up. So we get up there, and the first thing the Lord says is, I'm sitting at an intersection in this little town, 5,000-6,000 people, and I'm looking at Philadelphia, 5 million. Allentown, not as big, but 500,000. Mack Trucks is up there. Oh, this is this and this. And we're halfway between the two, and I'm in this intersection. Here's a little town. And he goes, start here. He said, see that Best Western over there? Go over there and rent that meeting room for next Sunday night. We didn't have a place to live. We had our stuff. I'd pull in the Best Western, go in there, get the meeting room for next Sunday night. There were some people there, a little group of people. And so I call the one fellow. We have a meeting at his house. We're going to meet Sunday night and going about doing that. And a person shows up. Said, I got a house over there. That house was 2 minutes. 2 minutes from that room, the Best Western. Of course, it's a town of 5,000, so nothing was really far from anything. And God met every need without us searching around, without us using a lot of effort. I didn't even realize it, and I've said this before. If you follow the leading of the Spirit, He'll lead you, and then He'll tell you what you did. Because we don't know everything, do we? We don't know all of the Word of God, but you'll learn. And then after that, he said, that's what happens when you seek first the kingdom and all these things are added unto you. So by renting the room and by setting up the meeting, what were we doing? I didn't even know I was doing it. I was just doing what I was told. He was leading me in a principle of the word. Because God does everything in a pattern based on a principle. But it was from faith that wisdom comes. So, well, how was that from faith? I immediately abandoned the flesh, which was go up there and look around until you're exhausted, and went back and did what he said. Even though there was nothing there. Paul's upset with the Galatians because they traded faith for works. They abandoned faith for works. And look at Galatians 5:4, and I'm going to close it. This verse I read every day, just about every day for the last 30-something years. Fourth verse, Galatians 5. You have become estranged. The King James says it could have been made of no effect. You have become estranged from Jesus. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Brothers and sisters, you fall from grace. You're on your own. You need, if you do that, you better be one tough person. Because the enemy now has you right where he wants you. Everything that Jesus did on the cross, everything that you have because you're in him, everything that's in him that's yours, everything that he has done, every blessing, the word says, is of no effect in your life. It's no mystery why we see precious children of God suffering under the curse. Because they've been taken out from faith or haven't been taught it at all. And if you're not taught the faith at all, guess where you're going to be? Working. Working. It's so important to understand those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law. Those that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. That God's plan was that. That you're not led by rules. And you're not led by self-imposed regulations upon yourself. I gotta read the Word every day. You know, I know a lot of people read the Word every day and the curse is running rampant in their life. Come on! Wake up! You're guaranteed nothing because you read it every day. Nothing. He's giving it all to you whether you read it or not. You're blessed whether you read it or not. What does it do? It does for us. It doesn't make us tighter with God. It doesn't make him accept us more. It doesn't make him say, oh, look at them, they're reading the Word together this morning. I'm going to give an extra special blessing. This is to serve us. Nourish us. Give us power. And more importantly, faith comes. You know, it comes by hearing. It doesn't come because we're doing something to earn the faith. It just comes by his grace. See, if you listen long enough, that's all. Just present yourself there to listen, the faith comes. And I've dealt with all this issue with many, many people. No, Pastor. You got to do. No. You don't got to. When you're walking in grace and you're operating in faith, you do it because you want to. Not because you have to. Anytime you feel like I have to do something, throw it out. I gotta praise God. I have to praise God. Put it aside for a day. until you come to the place where I want to. I want to. I want to. I want to give. I want people to be blessed. I want to. That's God's plan. It's not God's plan to get and motivate any of us by fear or reward. Fear and reward, bribery. This is the thing about bringing, I mentioned this also. You don't bring people into the kingdom of God by bribing them or scaring them. Because then you got to bribe them bigger to keep them in and scare them more to keep them in. And a combination of both. Amen. Today, and you can put this before the Lord. Show me, Lord, everywhere where there's anything that I'm doing that's a work. Purge that from me. Show me. Because I want to be free. Grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift. It's all a gift. The grace, the faith, all of it. So let me leave you with this today. Enjoy it. Amen? Enjoy it. Lord, I'm not doing nothing for you today. I'm just going to enjoy. Okay? He'll go, there, now we're cooking. Amen? He can do a whole lot more when we're enjoying than when we're fretting. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise, I give you glory, and I thank you, Lord, that you're the one who knows the hearts. And Lord, we give our heart to you. You're the one. You're Lord over our heart. And what I ask today, Lord, is that you, who are you are the author and finisher of our faith. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And that you continue to work in our heart, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. That we walk and live by faith and led of the Spirit constantly in the name of Jesus. And anyone who wants a piece of that, say heartily, amen. Amen.